Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, reading verse 5. Paul is writing, he says, "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake." Heavenly Father, please help us today. I certainly pray for me. I need your understanding, your wisdom. I need illumination. I need to understand and to rightly divide the Word of God, the text that we're taking today. I need your power to preach. And that's great. But what I really need is for you to reach into the hearts and the minds of those listening, that the Word of God would do something in their hearts, as Paul prayed that the Word of God would dwell richly in them, that they'd be changed by the Word of God and by the Lord Jesus Christ as I endeavor to preach Him today. I know that Jesus is the answer. I know that He can break whatever bondage. I know that Jesus is the answer for drug addiction. I know that He's the answer for any problem that we face in life. I know He's the answer. And, oh God, that people would see Him and want to come to Him and want to follow Him and want to dedicate their hearts anew, perhaps, to Him. Help me to preach Christ. And, Lord, help them to see the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. Before I get into the sermon, this is part 14 of the Missing the Holy Spirit series. The subtitle would be, I suppose, The Gifts or about Jesus, not us. I've tried to show you what the Word of God says regarding the Holy Spirit. And as I said, we misunderstand often what the Word of God teaches. We think different things about the Spirit of God because of all the stuff we're taught on TV, I suppose, different from what the Bible teaches. And we've said again and again and again that the Holy Spirit glorifies Christ. He will glorify me, Jesus said in John chapter 16. And again and again and again and again and again, all through the Scriptures, we find the Holy Spirit glorifying, magnifying, pointing to Jesus Christ, and not Himself, and not those that He chooses to use. We hear a lot about the anointing. Most don't know what it means. Certainly what's taught on TV is misleading. But if God does choose to anoint someone to preach or to teach, He will empower them and instruct them to preach Christ, not ourselves, as Paul said. And when ourselves, or we the preachers, are involved, it's as your servant for Jesus' sake. not your master. Jesus said that in the world, you want to try to get ahead. In the world, you want to rise to the top in your job. You want a promotion. Maybe you want to become supervisor or something. You want to get ahead, and that's fine in the world. But in the kingdom of God, Jesus said it will not be so. That if you want to be great, be a servant. If you want to be chief, you go find the guy that's trying to be the servant, and you be his slave. The organizational chart, the pyramid, is turned upside down in the kingdom of God. And I'm here to tell you, as a preacher of the gospel, it's not about me. It's about Jesus Christ. It's not about me and my ministry. It's not about any. It's about Jesus Christ. And if you think of me as your servant, one that tries to bring the Word of God to you, tries to get into the Scriptures and understand it. And I've studied for a long time to understand. And I don't pray on my knees, but as it were, I've been on my knees for decades trying to understand it, to bring it to you as best I can with God's help, preaching Jesus Christ the Lord. Because in the end, you're going to stand before Him, not me. You're going to forget all about me when we get to heaven. But you'll want to see Jesus, or you'll be afraid to see Him. But either way, it's about Jesus in heaven, and it should be about Jesus in our churches. Should be. Should be. But turn quickly, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. This is the chapter that talks about the spiritual gifts, and I run through it very quickly. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1 through 11, I'll try to read it. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. I wouldn't leave you in ignorance. You know that you were Gentiles carried away into these dumb idols, or false gods, or false idea about God in today's understanding, even as you were led, and not led by God either. When you worship false gods, or when you have a false idea about the true God, it's not the Holy Spirit leading you to do wrong, or to believe wrong, or to practice wrong. But Paul says, such were some of you. You're washed. You're new creatures in Christ. But he's talking about spiritual gifts. He says in verse 3, wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. And that no man can say that Jesus is Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. We're talking about spiritual gifts. And if God gives you a spiritual gift, or gives someone in the church a spiritual gift, He won't, when speaking by the Spirit, say wrong things about Jesus, or teach wrong doctrine, or even calling Jesus accursed. He's always going to, if He's truly led by the Spirit, whoever's exercising some spiritual gift will always glorify Jesus. Make Him look good. And make us look bad by comparison. John the Baptist said that He might increase. But I, John the Baptist, he said, must decrease. It must be this way, that Jesus is glorified. And that we decrease. That we become less. That we are not seen to be preeminent, but that Jesus Christ has the preeminence. If you're truly speaking in one of the nine gifts of the Spirit, or speaking or praying for the sick or what have you, if it's truly God, Jesus will be seen. Jesus will be magnified. The people that you're ministering to will come away with, hey, let's learn more about Jesus Christ. Let's focus on Him. But he says in verse 4, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences in administrations, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. And he goes on to explain, but he says that in verse 7, but the manifestation of the spiritual gifts is given to every man to profit withal. Edification, exhortation, and comfort. Isn't that what prophecy is about? You should, as Paul said in the verse we read in the beginning, we preach not ourselves, but Christ. He should be magnified. He should be glorified. And ourselves, your servants for Jesus' sake. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. Again, it's not about us. It's about Christ and us ministering Christ. If God would anoint you or empower you to give some prophecy to someone, it's going to help them. Or it should help them. It should benefit them. If you pray for them and they're healed, obviously that's a benefit. Again, we're lifting up Christ, we're focusing on Christ, and we're asking that others be helped and benefited. Then he goes through the list. For one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, it says. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy and discerning of spirits. To another, diverse of different kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But in verse 11, but all these worketh that one and the self same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he wills. Again, there's nine different gifts in this passage, nine different spiritual gifts that he may or may not give you or the guy sitting next to you in church. But they all glorify Christ. I want to make that clear. The Spirit will always glorify Jesus Christ, and the gifts that he may or may not give, they're supposed to glorify Christ. And I understand that I sound like a broken record. I get that. But it's not about us. We preach not ourselves. And when we're involved, when the focus is on us, it's that we're servants. And not like a public servant, which we understand that in Louisiana, our public servants rule over us and steal from us and end up going to jail. Our motive should be pure. And in God's kingdom, when He truly, truly gives someone a gift of the Spirit, when it's truly from Him, the motive will be pure. And Christ will get the credit. And we will decrease. And others will be benefited. Again, it's not about us. It's about Jesus Christ and what He can do for others. Now, in the list of nine gifts, we talked about that a couple of weeks ago. There were seven of these gifts that were seen in the Old Testament, and two were added in the New Testament, that of tongues and interpretation of tongues. All seven of these Old Testament gifts were seen in the life of Jesus Christ and in His ministry. When He called His 12 disciples, and gave them the power of God to go preach. They also exhibited these seven gifts of the Spirit. Again, leaving out tongues and interpretation of tongues because it was given on the day of Pentecost. These two gifts added later. In Luke chapter 9, we read of the 12 being called. Luke chapter 10, we read of the 70 others also being called, being given the power of God to preach, to perform miracles, and to heal the sick everywhere they went. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10, it says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you all be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." You know, it bothers me that you can tell a Baptist or a Pentecostal or a Charismatic or a Catholic or what have you by the way that they talk or who they quote, what preachers they quote, what have you, or the phrases that they use and the concepts that they think in. You know, I could mention seed faith or praise and worship or the prophetic. You know, that doesn't even make any sense. The word prophetic is an adjective. When you say the prophetic, you sound like an idiot. But it's a common phrase, the prophetic. In some churches, that's what they do. Or the word birthed, which is not even a word. But it's been common in the last couple of decades to say that this or that move of the Spirit or work of God was birthed. It's not even a word. You look it up in the dictionary. It doesn't exist. But too often, instead of quoting the Bible, instead of quoting verses or referring to verses that are in the Bible, we say things that are popular on television. And we can listen to someone and know who they listen to. If it's Swaggart or SBN or what have you, you can listen to somebody and know that, hey, they listen to SBN. Or you can listen to somebody talk for a while and you know that they listen to Beth Moore or Pat Robertson or Joyce Meyer or Rod Parsley or John MacArthur. Doesn't matter who. We ought to be like Christ. We ought to preach not ourselves and we ought to speak the same thing. But you know as well as I do that we can tell who they're listening to by the words that they say. The concepts, again, the way that they think, the things that come out of their mouth. We know who someone listens to. We ought to admire and emulate the Lord Jesus Christ. Instead of quoting our favorite televangelist, we ought to quote the Bible. You ought to know the Bible. You know, in years and decades past, we used to study the Word of God. We used to find a passage that was good, a good verse or whatever that we liked, or that we were told, hey, this is a verse you ought to learn, and we learned it. We memorized it. We could quote it. If I said John 3:16, you may know that. If I said 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, you ought to be able to quote it. There are promises that the Word of God gives. Now, everything in the Word of God, every jot and tittle is important. But there are great promises that many through the years, through the decades, through the centuries have recognized, hey, this verse works. It brings comfort to me, and they'll memorize it. It used to be that we memorized Scripture. Now, we can parrot the people on TV. And we sound just like our favorite preacher on television. We ought to admire the Lord. We ought to emulate the Lord. And if we want someone to look up to, it shouldn't be Rod Parsley or John MacArthur We ought to look up to Paul and King David and Joshua and Andrew. You know, Andrew, one of the 12 disciples, the only thing we ever hear about Andrew in all the rest of the Bible, except, you know, he was called. The only thing we ever read about him is that he brought people to Jesus Christ. That's the only thing we know about him, except for he was called with the rest, is he brought people to Jesus Christ. We ought to be like him, bringing people to Christ. Used to be popular, preachers would preach out of Hebrews chapter 11, the heroes of the faith. You can read about the different exploits that they did. You can read about the different ways that they stood for God and suffered because of it. You know, I've often said that suffering is part of the gospel. Read Hebrews chapter 11. Read about those that were fed to the lions or cut in half because of their faith. But instead, we quote Kenneth Copeland. I'm sorry, we need to get back to the Word of God. We need to learn what true discipleship is, because Kenneth Copeland ain't. But back to our sermon. There's ample evidence that Jesus exhibited all 7 Old Testament gifts. Many examples through the scriptures, both old and new, of prophets having words of knowledge or words of wisdom, or laid hands on the sick and people were healed. They had the gift of faith, Elijah, for instance. We can look in the Old Testament and see, again, all but tongues and the interpretation of tongues, we can see all the gifts of the Spirit in the Old Testament. But let me ask a question. If the Holy Spirit, as we've been studying, only seeks to glorify Jesus, shouldn't we also seek only that? John chapter 16, verse 12, 13, and 14. Jesus, he said that I have many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. Again, the Spirit of God, when he moves through a person, if there's some spiritual gift that a person is honored to be used of God in, the Spirit who gives the gift will glorify Christ, and the person that is used of God in some gift should be also glorifying Christ. Again, if the Holy Spirit, he only wants to glorify Christ, shouldn't we also want exactly that and nothing more? You know, most of the Bible after Romans is corrective. And this book here, 1 Corinthians, and this chapter here, verse 12 in particular, gives instruction in the proper use and place of spiritual gifts. There's entirely too much emphasis placed on spiritual gifts and tongues, really. Entirely too much emphasis. We ought to look at Christ. We ought to be concerned about discipleship. We ought to be concerned about winning souls, making disciples. We shouldn't seek the gifts. We should seek Christ. And I understand that Jesus still baptizes in the Holy Ghost. I understand that. Now, I understand that when you're filled with the Spirit, the Bible way, you probably will speak in tongues. I understand that. But tongues is the least gift. Tongues is the most embarrassing gift. If you are praying for someone to be healed or whatever, and someone walks up who doesn't understand, or who is not even a Christian, he'll listen for a minute and say, well, hey, you know, I don't know what's going on, but one guy seems to be praying for the other to be healed. And they may remember that Jesus healed the sick, and Christ is glorified. But if you're speaking in tongues, and some sinner walks past, they're going to think you're an idiot. Tongues is the least gift. Paul said, covet to prophesy. Oh, yeah, forbid not to speak in tongues, but if you want to seek after a spiritual gift, then ask God for one that ministers to people. Because unless your tongues, if you speak in tongues in church, unless they're interpreted, you're of no benefit to anyone else. As we said, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. Again, I'll go back to the verse that I chose in the beginning. For we preach not ourselves, but Jesus Christ the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Christ's sake.
You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.